Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
One of my editors actually said, well, this is just disaster porn. And I said, well, you know, like real pornography, disaster porn is in the eye of the beholder, and there's 100,000 people who live in New Orleans who don't know that there are no plans to get them out.
But the core belief, like the central thing that animates you, is this power struggle against these dying old media gatekeepers who just want to like tell people what to think and enforce this restrictive PC culture.
If you had a bad doctor, people are like, yeah, you know, some doctors are shitty. We're going to go try a different one. But yeah. There's not that same understanding for therapists.
Right. No, that's so true. And you need to have good personality chemistry with your therapist.
Today, you'll hear samples from these three podcasts, Floodlines, Rabbit Hole, and Choose Your Struggle. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. On August 29, 2005, the levees protecting the city of New Orleans broke under massive pressure of Hurricane Katrina, submerging hundreds of thousands of homes, schools, shops, and communities. 15 years later, the scenes of hubris, incompetence, and nature's wrath are still vividly etched into the national consciousness. But the story that unfolds on our first podcast this week, Floodlines, is a very different one. To those who lived through the flood and its endless, painful aftermath, it's a story of rumors, deception, and betrayal. As host Van R. Newkirk II discovers on his journey to the eye of the hurricane, the tragedy of the great flood of the Big Easy began long before anyone named the tropical storm Katrina. Here's a sample from the first episode of Floodlines titled Antediluvian. Newkirk travels back in time to the years, months, and days leading up to the natural disaster. What began as a normal Louisiana summer was quickly about to become anything but.
We had to get prepared for Katrina.
News anchors and meteorologists first started calling the storm Katrina on August 24th, a Wednesday. That's when it gained the 39-mile-an-hour winds needed to become a tropical storm. It came up from the south and east of Florida.
You are looking at Tropical Storm Katrina, and residents in South Florida are keeping a very close eye on the system. It could become a hurricane before it moves in late tomorrow or early.
It became a weak hurricane for a couple hours. Then it made landfall just north of Miami.
The hurricane came ashore with winds of 80 miles an hour, barely.
It crossed over the southern tip of Florida Thursday night and Friday morning.
It's now a Category 2 hurricane making its way across the Gulf.
It weakened over land, but entered the warm Gulf of Mexico intact.
And Katrina is getting stronger.
The storm's gaining even more strength.
With winds of up to 115 miles per hour.
It was due to strengthen on Saturday.
New Orleans, you are in the very big realm of possibility.
This is the big one, as the mayor put it. We're showing you now pictures.
The big one always has been a Category 5 hurricane that would put so much water over the coast that it would overtop the levees.
That's Mark Schlefstein, an environmental reporter in New Orleans.
I'm known in the office as Darth Schlefstein.
Why is that?
Oh, because I'm always reporting on, you know, what kind of disaster can occur.
Mark was worried. And Mark is a guy who covered the worst disasters for years. He's not the type to get worried easy. He was worried because of a prediction he'd made 3 years before. In 2002, he and his reporting partner, John McQuaid, had written a series about the big one hitting New Orleans, following the same path as Katrina. The stuff they predicted was alarming. A hurricane would hit the city. It would send record-breaking storm surges through the lake and the river. Without wetlands to stop the surge, it would grow higher and higher. All of the drainage and shipping channels around New Orleans would funnel that surge directly into the center of the city. The levees would simply be too low to stop the water. Mark and John predicted a city uninhabitable for at least 4 months, with up to 100,000 people dead. But even their editors were kind of skeptical about the reporting.
One of my editors actually said, well, this is just more of Schlesstein's disaster porn. And I said, well, you know, like real pornography, disaster porn is in the eye of the beholder, and there's 100,000 people who live in New Orleans who don't know that there are no plans to get them out in advance of a major hurricane.
Did you ever feel like you were, I guess the phrase shouting into a hurricane is not a good one here, but...
a Cassandra? I did.
The podcast Floodlines from The Atlantic. Join Van R. Newkirk for the story of an unnatural disaster years in the making, available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. The internet is a marvel of modern technology. It connects us, keeps us informed, and especially in this age of corona, keeps life moving. But as the importance of the internet continues to ramp up in our day-to-day lives, we're forced to reckon with the potential consequences of this societal shift. What's all this time on the internet actually doing to us? Well, that's the central question of our next podcast this week, courtesy of the New York Times. Follow Times tech columnist Kevin Roos on his new podcast, Rabbit Hole, as he dives into the stories of how the internet is changing and how we're changing with it. From deep inside the racist, xenophobic, alt-right forums of sites like 4chan to the seemingly innocuous YouTube recommended videos algorithms, the internet is a wild and untamed place, but it's also a place of endless exciting possibilities. Come see for yourself with a look down the rabbit hole. Check out this sample clip from the second episode of Rabbit Hole titled Looking Down. In this second part of a three-part series on Caleb, a young man who was pulled into a vortex of misinformation online and found himself transformed, Rabbit Hole traces his plunge inch by inch into the dark, transfixing back channels of YouTube's darker side.
I saw it as like, see, they're trying to take everything over. They just want to make everything politically correct. You know, all these SJWs, they're even trying to take our video games.
And it was on the other side of Gamergate that this new kind of political identity emerged. And this identity, like, it didn't really fit into a traditional left-right Democrat-Republican spectrum. In this identity, you could be pro-gay marriage and pro-marijuana legalization. You can even support Medicare for all. But the core belief, like the central thing that animates you, is this power struggle against these dying old media gatekeepers who just want to like tell people what to think and enforce this restrictive PC culture.
You cannot make anyone else feel bad, and the way we're going to get you to never make anyone else feel bad is to put the SJW thumb screws right up your urethra, right into your balls.
And so the Stefan Molyneux that we see in Caleb's watch history post-Gamergate, he's really come to embody this new political identity.
The media will praise people who are leftist and multiculturalist and blah, 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 and they will attack other people who aren't that way.
Especially with a series of videos.
This is the truth about Karl Marx.
That are sort of variations on the truth about
Martin Luther King, plagiarist.
About historical figures, political leaders, but more often about
this is the truth about Israel and Palestine.
This is the truth about slavery.
Controversial topics in the news.
The truth about Michael Brown and the Ferguson riots.
The truth about immigration.
This is the truth.
This is the truth.
The truth about
the movie Frozen.
The format of these videos is pretty much the same every time. He lays out first the kind of official explanation for something that happened in the news.
CNN went with the headline, Michael Brown, teen shot by police days before college, continuing the gentle giant narrative.
And then he sort of breaks it down and tells you, here's what really happened.
So the video that we saw, and according to a police report, Brown and his friend Dorian Johnson were performing a strong arm robbery with store staff and stealing a box of cigars on Saturday.
And he's saying basically, look, like, I'm no expert, but I can see that this official explanation is not right.
Now, this gentle giant, Michael Brown, recorded a collection of rap tracks with friends and posted them.
But I am going to give you the truth.
Lyrics, I guess you could call them, go something like this. I just want a real bitch. Smoke dope,
and kill shit. But if we can, challenge the narrative and begin to think afresh.
No bias, no spin, no fancy cameras, no makeup.
In fact, I read no makeup. Why? Because I actually do some research, right, before I create a video. You know, it may not be the end of the world to do a little less foundation on the skin and a little bit more foundation in critical thinking.
I was chasing truth. You know, I had this analogy in my head that I've thought of. I was like Indiana Jones with my, you know, explorer's hat on. And Steph like said, here, look at this cave. Look, there's knowledge down there, right? The truth is down there. You got to go down and dig for it.
So looking through the early months of Caleb's watch history.
And it was an uncomfortable truth. And I accepted that. And that's what made it even more compelling.
You really see that Stefan Molyneux was the first step into the rabbit hole for him. And because Caleb would watch Stefan Molyneux and then go on these long binges where he would just watch recommended video after recommended video, you can really see, like, in detail where the algorithm is taking him next.
Yeah, so that's what you do. Like, you'll watch a video and then the little sidebar comes up and you're like, oh, let's go on a little binge here.
That was Rabbit Hole from the New York Times. Explore in real time what happens as our lives move online with the help of Kevin Roos and Rabbit Hole. Available now on WVXU.org at the Start Here Collections page. Millions of Americans struggle with addiction. And in Ohio, where the opioid epidemic rages on, we're no stranger to these struggles. Sometimes the hardest part of addressing the problem is simply talking about it. Well, no one knows better than hometown kid and NKU grad Jay Schiffman. And on his podcast, Choose Your Struggle, he's putting that knowledge to work. On the show, Jay welcomes everyday Americans, mental health professionals, and more heartfelt, meaningful discussions on issues of substance misuse and recovery, mental health, and drug use. As a person in long-term recovery himself, Jay aims to break down the walls of stigma surrounding these issues and ensure that everyone gets the help that they deserve. Here's a sample from the recent episode of Choose Your Struggle featuring Sarah Korenbilt, who Jay describes as the Bruce Springsteen of mental health work. Sarah is a clinical social worker and avid pianist, and she joins the show to discuss her work and how we can work to build foundations of empathy. In this clip, they chat about some common misperceptions that people have regarding therapy and mental health advice.
You know, we were talking about mental health, and I said, yeah, I've seen five different therapists since I moved down here to Charleston in August. And he was like flabbergasted. He was like, dude, are you like nuts? And I was like, no, that's not why. I was like, no. It's because like one was really good at one thing and we worked on that. And a different was really good at this thing. And so we worked on that. And then my wife and I tried a couple different marriage therapists until we found one that we kind of liked for where we were then. And now we're looking for a different one for where we are now. And so it's so important. And people like, they don't get that. There isn't that. In the same way where if you had a bad doctor, people are like, yeah, you know, some doctors are shitty. We're going to go try a different one. But yeah, there's not that same understanding for therapists.
Right. No, that's so true. And it has to be the right match. It has to be, you need to have good personality chemistry with your therapist. Like, and I think that some people, they end up with the wrong therapist for a long time because they keep convincing themselves, well, the therapist is really knowledgeable. They must be doing the right thing. Like, no, you have to trust yourself. Yeah, maybe you've never been in therapy, but you've talked to people. You know which people you like talking to. Find a person you like talking to. For me, I see my therapist once a week. I am going through a pandemic, and I am a single mom of four children, including one with like some pretty serious medical issues. I need to stay on track. Like, I don't know. I have a history of depression and anxiety. I have ADHD. It is hard to stay on track with my life, but having a therapist, it's almost like having like a touchstone in my week. It just centering and it kind of like, ripples out into everything else. Just this feeling of having my act together.
In our local Cincinnati podcast spotlight, that's Choose Your Struggle with Jay Schiffman. Start your journey towards a happier you with Choose Your Struggle. Available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection at WVXU.org or on the WVXU app. As usual, we'll take our weekly look at the Apple Podcast charts to see what podcasts are new or up and coming around the nation by iTunescharts.net. Debuting just a couple of weeks back, the new podcast from Wondery hit the charts and climbed immediately to number 2 in a matter of days. It's Billionaire Boys Club. It tells the story of a group of prep boys in the 1980s in LA that got together to make investments, get rich quick, and live large. But headed by a handsome, charismatic leader named Joe Hunt, the members of the self-proclaimed Billionaire Boys Club get sucked deeper into twisted schemes of kidnapping, torture, and revenge. The boys have to stick together or risk prison or worse. It's a 6-part series and currently in the top 5 of the Apple Podcast charts. That's Billionaire Boys Club. To learn more about that podcast and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter right at the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.